Is Daf Lamed Ches. So we got to the very top line. We're in the sugyas of Bishul Akum. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav Kol HaNechal Kimosh Shehu Chai Ein Bo Bishum Bishul Akum Bishul Av Dekochavim. Anything that is eaten when raw, so even when it's cooked, it's not a problem. So let's say, for example, tomatoes and cucumbers, those things are eaten raw. Apples are eaten raw when they're chai. So even if they do get cooked, there is no Isser Bishul Akum. Besura masnu hachi, that's how they learned in Surah, but bepumpadisa masnu hachi, they learned otherwise, that what? Amar of Shmuel, Amar bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, kol she'enu nechal al shulchan melachim melapis bo'esapas, ein bo mishum bishuli of the kochavim. He says anything that's not fed, that's not served on the table of a king, the president's a meal, a wedding, something very fancy, that would not be subject to Bishul Akum. So let's say popcorn would be something they wouldn't serve as at a grand meal, so that wouldn't be subject to Bishul Akum. So what's the difference? So Gemara says, "Ma'i benayu ika benayu dogim ketanim v'arde v'daisi." Rashi in the two lines down says, "Dogim ketanim v'arde v'daisi ein nechalim chaim." These things, small fish. And how do they define arde? Is there an English?
Mushrooms
and certain types of wheat. These are not eaten raw, and therefore, but also ein olin al shulchan malachim. They are not served at the king's table. So if you hold it's about shulchan malachim, these are not subject to Bishul Akum, but if it's based on being eaten raw versus cooked, it would be subject to Bishul Akum. So these are three examples, and there are many other now examples of nafkaminas. So halach l'maisa, if you just look at Tosos Dibur Maaseh Ika, I don't want to read the whole thing, but halfway down, the first word says pasach. Pasach Rabbeinu Tam, tehilchasa kahani trei lishna. We pass like both of these man da'amrim, v'ika chaminayu o nechachal o eina ola. If it has one, then it's enough of a reason, ein bo mishum bishuli ovdei kochavim, the bishel sofer, when it comes to dinei dirabanan like bishul akum. Halach achar hameka, we're leaning. So if this item isn't served, even though it's not eaten raw, but if it's not served on the king's table, so then it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And let's say it is served at the king's table, like an apple, but it's also Necha Chai, so then it wouldn't be subject to Bishul Akum either. It has to be something that isn't Necha Chai and also is served on Ola Al Shulchan Malachim to be subject to the Isser of Bishul Akum. Mar now says, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav. Dagim Ketanim Meluchim Ein behen mishum bishuli ovdei kochavim. Small fish that are salted are not subject to Bishul Akum because when they're salted, they're actually already edible. So the guy who cooks it isn't really adding much to it. It's already edible. That's considered nechal chai almost. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, imitzalan ovdei kochavim, if a goy cooks it, somech yisol aleim mishum eruvei tafshilin. So this is very interesting. So we just said before that salted fish is not subject to Bishul Akum. Now, if a goy cooks it, it's not usher. But at the same time, if a goy cooks it, you could use it for eruv tafshilin. Because for eruv tafshilin, you have to use an item that's been cooked already. So although for Bishul Akum purposes, this is not considered cooked when a goy cooks salted fish, when their cooking would be considered a good enough of a cooked item to be considered Erev Tafshilin. So the Gemara says, V'avdinu ovid kochavim kasa d'harsana aser. The person makes kasa d'harsana, which is something Rashi explains, it's the fish brine that's mixed together with some wheat, so that is something that's eaten raw, so that is permitted. So the Gemara says, that's pashut, of course it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, Shita ma'u d'seima harsana ikar. The brine, which is eaten raw, is the ikar. Kamash blan kimcha ikar. The flour is ikar. So again, it's some brine with mixed flour that gets cooked together. So the brine is eaten raw. The flour is not eaten raw. So which is the ikar, which is the tafel? The Gemara thought the brine is really the ikar, and adding some flour gives it texture, but that flour is really, really tafel. The Gemara tells me, kamash blan, the flour, in fact, is the ikar, in which case it is subject to Bishul Akum. It has to be, otherwise it wouldn't be a problem. Look at Tosas Dibur Maaseh Kamash Malan Kimcha Ikar on the bottom. Mikan Haya Rabbeinu Tam Matir Knois V'Ovlis. I don't know what this is, but you'll get an idea. She'ovdei kochavim la'osam she'ena nizar mipas shel ovdei kochavim. These items have bread mixed in. So if you're not choshesh for pas akum, so that's not a concern. Dilamai nechash, what's the concern of this bread mixed together with these items here? Imishim dam beitim, if it's because they didn't check the eggs and perhaps there's blood stains in the egg, rov beitim shalanu ein behem dam. Most eggs, it's a mi'ut she'ena matah, it's such a small chance that there's blood in the eggs, so there's no concern of that. V'mishim beitza of tami, maybe they used the egg from a non-kosher bird. Hare einam mutsuim beinenu. We don't have non-kosher bird eggs in the store, so you're not going to find that. V'mishim bishule ov de kochavim, if you're going to say that they cooked it though, kimcha ikar, v'havi kumapas. In this case, however, the flour in this in these ingredients is actually considered bread. It's baked. Remember we said there are two types. There's baked, and then there's cooked. So when the Gemara is talking about harsana, the flour in the Gemara is talking about cooked in water, in a liquid, in the brine, that's why it's subject to bishakam. But the example that Tos is referring to is where the flour is baked, and that's an issue of pas. So if you don't, if you're not makbid in pas akam, so then you would be allowed to eat these items mentioned in Tosfos. Okay. Gemara now says, Amarav Brona, Amarav, Oved, Kochavim, Ananju, Shehitzis es Haor, who lit the fire Ba'agam. He lit up a whole swamp. Koach Hagavim Sheba'agam, Asur, and all the grasshoppers in the swamp are actually Asur to eat. Hechidami, the Gemara wants to, what's the case? Ilema de lo yada heitar heitame. If you don't know which grasshoppers are kosher, which aren't, so my area, Oved Kochavim, who cares if Ananju lit it up and burned them all and killed them? Afil Yisrael Nami. If a Jew were to burn the entire swamp and you have a bunch of dead grasshoppers, we couldn't eat it either, because if we don't know Dilo Yad Heitame Heitar, who cares who killed those grasshoppers? We don't know the kosher symbols. Ella, it must be that not the concern of we don't know which are kosher. We know which ones are kosher grasshoppers. So why can't you eat the grasshoppers that are now dead from the swamp? Ella Mishum Bishuli Ovde Kochavim. So it's because a goy burned them, he cooked them. So since a goy cooked the grasshoppers, it's usher bishum bishul akum. Gemara says, ki agavna mi usher? Is it usher if a goy were to burn the swamp and kill the grasshoppers? That's bishul akum. V'ha amarav chanan bar ami, amarav padas, amarav yochan, hai ovid kochavim decharich resha, sharil meichal minay. So if a person, or rather a goy, were to burn the head of a grasshopper, so it's permitted to eat, afilu meresha onya, even if it's from... excuse me, the tip of the ear, it's still fine. Why? Alma, lavur seir kemechavim. The goy has intention, when he burned the head or burned the ear, his intent was not to kill the grasshopper or the animal, it was simply to just burn the hair off. But it wasn't to kavana to cook it. So hachanami, lugluya agma kemechavim. This goy, when he burnt the swamp, he was trying to just clean out the swamp. Happens to be there were grasshoppers and they got cooked along the way, but that wasn't his kavana. So the davar sheino miskavin, that won't be considered bishul akum. I'll tell you, halacha is a very interesting case once. There's a situation where a person, they were making a big kiddush and forgot to plug in the chillum pot, Erev Shabbos. So now, to ask a goy to plug in the chillum pot, that's going to be a problem of bishul akum and also amir l'akum on Shabbos. But it was during Bein HaShemashos, the Shiloh. Bein HaShemashos, you're allowed to do Amir L'Akum during Bein HaShemashos. Problem is, so you could plug it in, but now you have cooked a problem, Bishul Akum. So what the suggestion was by a very, I think it was Rav Fisher from Toronto, said what you should do is that have the guy turn off all the lights and electricity in the house. Then have a Jew plug it in because nothing's happening. Have the guy turn the electricity back on, and then everything's back on. Memele, it wasn't Kavana to light the chillum pot, to cook it, it was everything. Just so here as well, he had intention to burn the entire swamp, happens to be there grasshoppers that were cooked as well, happens to be there chillum that was cooked as well. So she'enu miskavein, that's mutter, it's not subject to the iser bishul akum.
Was there a muksa of the chillum pot when everything was off?
I mean, no, because there's food in there. I guess the food, the truth of the food is, but it's ben hashmashas, I guess, could be. Normally we're not makbid on isur derban during ben hashmashas. Maybe that could be part of it. Interesting. I don't know. Maybe you didn't move it in the plug. I hear. Okay. Anyways, the Gemara says, where are we now? So what's the case here? Why you can't eat the grasshoppers? So the Gemara says, Liom de lo yada heitar veheitame. So you didn't know which grasshoppers were mutter, which are aser. So therefore, that's why you couldn't eat it. So who cares that a goy lit the fire in the swamp? Even a Jew lit the swamp. Gemara says, Ma'ish shahaya bo'it kachavim haya. Happens to be, it was the goy who lit the swamp. If a Jew burned the swamp, it would be the same halacha. You couldn't eat the grasshoppers because we don't know the lo yada heitar v'hei tameh. Tosis learns from this sugi here, we could deduce from this that it's clear. Look at Tosis dir maschal li olam. So first line down, he says, mashma ha'i havayada. Heitar ha'yishari. Had you known which grasshoppers are kosher, you could eat it. Umikan raya. Here is a proof in the Gemara. Lahatir chagavim below shchita. You're allowed to eat grasshoppers without having to shech them. Them just dying, just like fish. Fish also, you don't need to shech them. You can just slam them over the head until they died. So too when it comes to grasshoppers, he concludes. Gemara now says four wide lines down in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Haniach Yisrael Basar, Agave Gecholim. Let's say you place meat over the coals. Did I skip a line?
Yeah.
I did. I'm sorry. Okay, first, last narrow line. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Barachan, Amar Yochanan, Hai Ovid Kochavim, Decharech Resha, Shari Lemechel Mine. If a goy were to burn the head of an animal, it's permitted to eat that animal, Afil Meresh Ona, even if it's from the ear. So Amar Ravina, Hilkach, we could conclude, Hai Ovid Kochavim, Deshad Sichsa La Suna. If a goy were to throw this item, Rashi explains here, Rashi didn't explain what this is.
A wet peg.
A wet peg, if it covered by Yisrael, Kara, and he, what happens here? One second. In the beginning, the goy were the one, he turned it, the goy turned on the oven initially, and then the Jew were the one, he covered it up. He covered up this, it's referring to a delas, which is a gourd, so they covered up in the gourd, shaper dami is permitted to eat, this would not be subject to the Isser. So again, the goy was the one who threw the initial peg in to start the fire, but the Jew is the one to make the fire much, much bigger, that's considered being lit by the goy. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course, that's an obvious case. So Gemara says, Ma'od the same with Levashel Mana Kamechavein, maybe his intent here was to cook the particular item, the peg here. And since his kavana was to cook, so his kavana was even after the Jew put the delas in, his kavana of the Jew, the non-Jew, was also to cook the delas, the gourd. Kamash Milan, no, the shuri bana kamechavin. So when the goy lit the fire, his kavana was only to fix that peg, that wet peg, to dry it up. His intent wasn't for the cooking. So let's say, for example, a goy turns on the fireplace for you to warm up, and then you want to use that fire to cook something, that would be permitted as well, because his intent wasn't to cook the food at all. So Gemara now says four wide lines down, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel.
You can't add to the fire?
If you add to the fire, that would be considered permitted. If you turn the flame up, that's fine. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Haniach Yisrael Basa Agave Gechalim, you place meat on top of the coals, Uba Ovid Kochavim V'hapich Ba, and the goy comes, turns it over to the other side to help it cook, that's considered mutter. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilema de'i lo hafik ba havi bashel pshita. If it's the case where the basa would have cooked, had the goy not flipped it over, eventually would have got to the other side, the flame. So of course it's mutter. The goy didn't add anything that the Jew didn't add. Ella, lav, is it not a case de'i lo hafik la havi bashel? It must be a case where if the goy didn't flip it over, it would not have cooked. So in which case, am I mutter? Why is that permitted? That's bishuli of the kochavim ninu. It wouldn't have cooked had it stayed on just one side. It was like a huge cowboy steak. So only one side would have got cooked and burnt and burnt. It never would have reached the other side of the steak. So when the non-Jew flipped it over, he made a cook. That would vada be aser. The Gemara says lo. Tzricha, it's only needed di lo hafach havi bashel betartisha. Had the guy not flipped it over, it would have taken 2 hours to cook. The hashta kabasha b'chadashayta. Now that he flipped it over, it's going to cook in only 1 hour. So ma would the same. What would you think? Kruve bishula milsi. Hastening the cooking process is considered something significant and a violation of bishul akum. Kamashmalan, it's not. Quickening the process is not a problem. So if a Jew, according to this Gemara, turns on the flame, and then the non-Jew raises the flame, that would be completely permitted. So the Gemara asks, "Vaha Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shu Kamaychel Ben Jusai, Ein Bo Mishuli Avdei Kachavim." Anything that already hit the point of Michael Ben Jusai, which according to some is either a third cooked or a half cooked, once it hits that point by a Jew and then a non-Jew does the remaining part of the cooking, that's not subject to Bishul Akum. Ha, but Eino Kamaychel Ben Jusai, if it hadn't hit that point yet, it's under a third cook, let's say, so then Yeshbo Mishum Bishuli of the Kochavim. And then the Nanju comes along and starts cooking it further, that would be a violation. So it sounds like from the Gemara above, though, if the Jew put it on the flame and it cooked a tiny bit and the Nanju flipped it over, that would not be a violation, because if the Jew just said it, eventually it would have cooked. So if I leave a steak on the for 2 minutes, and the Gemara says, well, if it's 2 minutes, it's not Michael Ben Jusai yet, and a non-Jew comes and raises the flame, so then that would be subject to Bishul Akum. But why? Had it just stayed there for an hour, eventually it would have cooked. So the Gemara says, this is the chilak. Hasam kigon de osve bisilsa. So there, after he cooked it a little bit, it was placed in a basket. And then, so even though it was cooked a little bit, so then what happened was, shakle ovei kochavim, vosei petanura. Then the non-Jew took it and placed it on the coals in order to finish cooking it. So if it's on the flames, and then the non-Jew just makes it cook faster, then it's always mutter. Even though he flipped it 10 seconds after I put it on, so and nothing really got cooked, that would be permitted. But let's say I cook it, Ma'ichel ben Jusai, a third cooked. I take it off and place it in a basket somewhere. Then he comes, takes it out, and puts it back on. In that case, it would be permitted as well. The only time it's aser is if I put it on for 2 minutes, it cooks a tiny bit. Then I remove it, and then the non-Jew comes, puts it back on. That would be bishakum because the initial cooking never hit the point of Ma'ichel ben Jusai. Gemara now says, we're last few lines of the page here, Tanya Nami Hachi, the barista says as well, Meniach Yisrael Basa Agavi Gecham, a Jew could put meat on the coals, Uba Ovid Kochavim Umapech Bo, and he could come and flip it over, Ad Shevo Yisrael Mibes HaKnesses, he could turn it and flip it until the Jew comes back from Shul, or Mibes HaMedjish, from learning, Veino Choshesh, we're not concerned of there being a violation of Bishal Akam. Shofetes Isha Kedera Agavi Kira, a woman could let a pot boil on the stovetop. Ubasa ove, that's kochavim, and a non-Jewish woman could come along with Adisa, and she could mix it together. Acha tevo mibeis amirchatz, to the woman who comes back from the bathhouse, or mibeis haknesses, or from shul davening, veino chosheshe, and there is no concern. So as long as it's placed in the fire, and the fire remains on, so then the non-Jew could do whatever they want. It's not a concern of them turning off and on the flame. Nechzi Yotze is an issue of their concern that something is trafe being thrown in there. I don't think you even need a Yotze Nechlas in this case here at all. The very fact that you place it on the fire, you trust that they're not going to take it off and on, turn it off and on. Gemara now says 2 lines down, Ibarilhu. Heniach Oved Kocham, let's say the opposite case. The Goy places it on the fire. The Hipach Yisrael, and the Yisrael, he's the one who flips it over. Mahu, is that going to work? Is that going to be a heter? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kal V'Chomer Gamru B'Yad Ovdei Kochavim Mutter. If the Jew started the process and the non-Jew finished it, and we said it's permitted, so Gamru B'Yad Yitzchak Lo Kol Shekein. So in this case, if the Jew finished the process, the ikar part of eating is completing it, making it edible. So when a non-Jew finishes the process, it's permitted as long as the Jew did the beginning of it. So Kal V'Chomer, if the Jew finishes the process, that's certainly going to be permitted. Itmar Nami was also said, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rab Yochan, Amar Yilah, others say, Amar Rab Acha Bar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rab Yochan, Bein Sheniach Ovid Kochavim, V'Hafach Yisrael. Whether or not the non-Jew placed it and the Jew flipped it, Bein Sheniach Yisrael, or if the Jew placed it, V'Hafach Ovid Kochavim, and the non-Jew flipped it, Mutter, both those scenarios, as long as the Jew is involved in some extent, that's permitted. V'eino aser, when is it aser? Ad shetehe tchilasa v'gamru b'yad ov d'kochavim. It's only aser when the non-Jew did from beginning until the end. That's when there is an iser. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hilchasa, bottom line, hayrifsa d'shagar oved kochavim. So this type of a cooking, that a oved kochavim, v'afa Yisrael, so if the goy turns on the flame, but the Jew places the challah inside, or inami shagar Yisrael, or the Jew turns on the flame, va'afa oved kochavim, and the non-Jew places the cake or challah in the oven, or inami shagar oved kochavim, va'afa oved kochavim, the non-Jew turns on the flame and he also bakes it, va'as Yisrael v'chata ba'chitoi shaper dami. But the non-Jew, rather the Jew comes along and adjusts it, he stokes the coals. That's enough involvement for a Jew to be involved in having been considered bishul Yisrael. So look at Taptosis for a second here. Also, Yisrael v'chata chita b'chalam, as long as the Jew stokes the coals, or in our terms, adjusts the knobs. Mekula shmeisen, from this whole sugi we learn mashma deba'inan she Yisrael mekariv habishul k'tas. He has to just at least hasten the process just a little bit. Umashinogu lahashlich kisim latana, throwing a little wood chip in the fire, making it slightly bigger. Really, not much. Somchan al mashi yesh b'dvarim shebeinu we're somich. On the matters that are different between Bein B'nei Bavel L'Bnei Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? The Kamar, we say, B'nei Bavel, Mashlichin Kisim L'Tanur, that the B'nei Bavel held that throwing a little wood chip in the fire is enough of a raising the flame to be considered Bishul Yisrael. U'B'nei Ma'arav, in the West, in Yerushalayim, Omrim Kisim Zeh, Ma'amala Ma'amori. What good is throwing a little Kisim in? That's not good enough. V'anu nimshechim acher b'nei bavel v'tamud, and we follow the b'nei bavel, and we allow throwing a wood chip is enough, slightly raising the flame is enough to be have it considered bishul yisrael. The halach l'maisa svardim are very, very makpid, and it's brought down in the machaber that's not enough to turn the flame on. The svardim really should place the food in the oven. Those who are makpid on this try to go to the, when they go to the restaurants, they either ask the mashgiach should do it, or they themselves place it in. Rav Avadia does have a heter for Sfardim not having to do this. They can rely on this this shita that raising the flame would be sufficient as well. Okay, the Gemara now says, halfway down the narrow lines, Dag miliach, salted fish, chizki ashari Rav Yochanan asar. When it comes to fish that have been salted by a guy, so then chizki thinks that's permitted. That's not cooking. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, he thinks it is because he paskins meliach havei kiroseach. Salting is like boiling something, and that would be subject to bishul akum. Beitz tzluya, roasted eggs, bar kapara shari, Rabbi Yochanan aser. Again, another machlokas about roasting an egg. So Gemara says, why? What's the machlokas? Gemara doesn't explain here, but some people eat eggs raw, so it's nechal chai. So then the Gemara says, Ki aser Rav Dima. And Rav Dima came back from Eretz Yisrael. He reported, Amar echad dag meliach, echad beitz tzluya, whether it's a salted fish or roasted eggs, chizkia ubar kapara, sharu, they both permit, Rabbi Yochanan asar. Then Rabbi Chia Parva, ikle the bay Reish Kalusa. One time he visited the house of Reish Kalusa, Amri Leh, they said to him, beitz tzluya mai, what's the halacha? They asked Rabbi Chia, what's the psak with regards to the eggs? Amar lehu chizkia ubar kapara, sharu. However, Rabbi Yochanan aser, vein dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim. So since Rabbi Yochanan says it's mutter, and he's only a yachid, we paskin lekula like chizki and bar kapara, that you are allowed to have the goyim cook the eggs. Amar lehu Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid, however, piped in and said, lo tatisi lei, don't listen to my buddy over here who's talking here, the Rabbi Chia, because Hachi Amar Abai, Abai says, Hilchasa Kavasi the Rabbi Yochanan, Pasan Rabbi Yochanan, that it is Aser Beit Tzluya. Ashkayua Neguta Dechala V'Nach Nafshe. What happened was, the people of Reish Kalus were very upset about this, that they were very machmir, and so they fed him something to drink, and they ended up killing Rav Zvid. The house of Reish Kalus was very, very corrupt. There are many stories how corrupt they were. This is one example how when someone did something that they didn't really like, they just took matters in their own hands and killed Rav Zvid. The Gemara now says, Tanur Rabban, the Braisa teaches us, Hakafrisin. I don't know the English of all these things. If you have, you can let me know. Hakafrisin. What?
Husks.
Okay, from the...
the berries.
Okay. Kaplutos.
Leeks.
Okay. Talia, what's that? Gemara's going, okay, hachaman, okay, hot water, vaklayos, we said, well, yesterday was roasted wheat, shalahen, all these things are mutarin, these are permitted, and beitz tzluya also, however, eggs, cooking eggs is a problem. Shemen, what about oil from the goyim, Rabbi Yehuda, Hanasi, Beisino, Nimnu, Alav, they already made the decision, v'hitiru, we discussed this, that's permitted. Tanya, the Braisa says, he matalia, he pashalia, he shiata. So it's all the same thing. So what exactly is this? Ma shiata? I'm Rabbi Babarchana, I'm Rabbi Yochan, ha'arbar mishanin, 40 years, the nafakai uvda, Mitzrayim, it's already been 40 years since this, this maisa came from Yushalayim, from Mitzrayim rather. Rabbi Babarchana, the day Amar Hashisin Shanin Dinafik Hayuv the Mitzrayim, it came 6 years already from the Mitzrayim. Velo pliga, there's no machlokas. Mar Bishniya, Mar Bishniya. So what's going on here? What mice is it referring to? I remember this. Hold on. So the Gemara explains here, Maisi Bizra de Karpasa. So what happened was, again, what the Machlokas here is. Just one second here. So just, so again, Mar Bishniya, Mar Bishniya. So Yochanan said, his man, it's been 40 years, and Rabbi Barbachano, I guess it's saying 60 years since he last had been in Mitzrayim. So Maisi Bizra de Karpasa. So they brought some seeds from the karpas, usually in translation celery, ubizra de kisna, and some seeds from the flax seeds, ubizra de shablilasa, and some seeds from what's a shablisa?
Fenugreek.
Okay, vitarulu bahade hadali befashure, they had soaked it in warm water, vishavkulay adim makabo, they let it rest there until it started to grow. The maisi chatzbi chadasi, they brought a new jug, umalu maya, filled with water, vitaru bahu gargishosa, and they soaked it in some type of dirt, and the medabkin bay, and everything started to cling together. It started to grow together. V'aydlin the bay banei, and they brought it to the bathhouse adenafke. When they went out, milavleve, what happened was the seeds started to grow more. V'achlim nai, they started to eat these seeds of mixed together. The kayaru mi binasa, and they started to cool themselves off. The reshayu atufra the karayu. So through this, all their hair became cool. The entire body became very cool. Okay. So then the Gemara, so we see from all this, however, this is permitted because these items are nechal kimoshu chai. They're eaten raw. So then the Gemara says, so this proves to us what matalia is. One of these things in the mixture was matalia. So Amar Rav Ashi, Ashi says, Amar li Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said to me, Milan, these things are incorrect. This never happened. They didn't grow. It's impossible for these seeds to grow in just 1 hour. Amila, others say, Bimilan, it grew through kishuf, through some type of witchcraft, is what caused them to grow. So Gemara now quotes a brisa for the Tanir Abanan HaKuspin, Shov de Kochavim, the leftovers from dates. So of the non-Jews, the halacha is shehuch muchamin, that were warmed with water. So then, biyora gadol, if it's in a large vat, usser, you can't eat it because in that large vat you had cooked these things that were usser, the leftovers of the non-Jew, the tamarim. But if it's in a yora kitana, if it's in a small vat, it's mutter, and there is no concern of putting any dover isser in a small vat. Vezi yora kitana, how do you define a small vat where they're not going to put a dover isser in? Amr b'yanai, kol she'en sipor d'ror, yachol likanes b'soch. If it's so small where you can't fit a small bird in there, that's small enough that if they cooked some water and some dates, we don't think they threw some dover isser. Anything larger than that, there's a chashash, maybe they threw something aser in, and you shouldn't eat it. So Gemara says, Dilma admuya admuya v'aylu. Maybe they cut up the small bird and put a little tiny piece of the bird inside the vat. So even if it's very small, there's a chashash, they drop something aser in there. Ella, they tweaked the definition of the Yorokatana, Ella kol shein rosh tzipor dror, yachli kanis besoch. If it's so small that they can't fit just the head alone, not the entire bird, but just the head alone, they can't stick the head alone, that's considered Yorokatana, and you're allowed to have that water mixed with the psolus of tamarim. Anything bigger than that would be a concern they put other ingredients in. Gemara says, but doesn't the Braisa teach us otherwise? Achat Yorokatana gdola, achat Yorokatana mutter, even a large vat is mutter. So Lokasha, Ha Kaman Damar, Nosintam Lifkam Aser, Ha Kaman Damar, Nosintam Lifkam is Mutter. It depends. If you assume Nosintam Lifkam is Aser, when something has bad flavor, it's Aser. So then there's a Chashashir that if the non-Jew had used it with a vat with some other Dover Iser the night before him, even though it's 24 hours and it's Nosintam Lifkam, it's now bad flavored, it's still a Dover Aser. But if you assume Nosintam Lifkam is mutter, so yes, maybe they used this same pot for Dover Isser, but that was 24 hours ago. People don't use the same pot within 24 hours, in which case we would paskin its mutter. Mar now says, Amar of Sheshes, Hai Mishka Shlika Darama. This type of oil that was cooked by a non-Jew, it's Aser. So Amar of Safar, wants to understand, Lemai Nichesh, what's the concern of this shemen that was cooked by a non-Jew? If it's concerned that you mix wine with it, sorry, that's going to make the flavor taste bad, and they would never mix wine with the shemen. Because they cooked it, oil is eaten when it's already raw. So the fact they cooked it isn't a violation of Bishul Akum. If it's concerned that you use kalim that have a belius iser in it, well, that too, no sin tam lefgam hu. They're not going to use it within 24 hours of using iser, so that would be mutter, and therefore you can have, he thinks you can, in fact, have the oil cooked by a non-Jew. Let's just finish the last two lines, those who want to stay here. The Gemara says, Bai mine, actually more to do even. Bai mine mirabi asi, hani ahine shlike darami. These, yeah, okay, thank you. These dates that were cooked by the non-Jews, my, what's the halacha with them? So Gemara says, chulia, if it's talking about chulia, which, Gemara, what, sorry?
Sweet
ones, lo tibari lecha, tibari shari. If they're sweet dates, it's certainly permitted because they're ready, people will eat them raw. If it's mirir, if they're bitter, lo tibarilcha, that's not a shayla, divadei asir. But since they're not edible raw, so then it is bishul akum. Ki tibarilcha, the shayla was mitziyai, where it's in the middle, it's somewhat sweet, somewhat bitter. So some eat it raw, others don't eat it raw. My, what's halacha, is that subject to bishul akum? The Gemara answers, amar lahu, my tibarilchu, the Rebbe Aser, umani levi. So you say, what's the shayla here? After Rebbe Asered it, so you know that's the final, that's the psak here, and therefore it's aser. Not Rebbe Stam, but Rebbe Levi. Gemara says shisasa, which is some type of a cooked item that's made from the flour of roasted wheat. So the Gemara says Rav Shari, that's permitted if a goy were to cook it. Vavua the Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, but Levi, actually they thought it was prohibited. So Bechita, he was sorry when it came to wheat and barley. Kuliyam, everyone agreed to lo pligi d'shari, that's permitted because these things are eaten. It's not, people don't normally add vinegar. The concern was having wine vinegar. No one adds wine vinegar to wheat and barley if it's cooked. The talfi, the challah, when it comes to dried lentils, however, so people would normally add some wine vinegar, there's a chashash there. So kuliyam pligi d'asir, that's vade asir. Kipligi wonders there machlokes bitlafche demaya. When it came to lentil, dry lentils that they added water to, so Mar Saver Avia Deshmua, Abu Deshmua and Levi held it was Asr, Gazirin Ha Atuha. Because they're concerned if they permitted you to use the dry lentils with water, you might end up using dried lentils alone without the water and think that's permitted. But no, dried lentils are certainly Asr because of vinegar. If we permit you to have dry lentils that are now moist, and that's permitted as well, you might confuse and always rely on eating dried lentils. Umar Savalo Gazrin, the other one thinks they're very different. Just because you allow me to have dried lentils that's been mixed with water, that's permitted because they don't drink wine, that's not going to lead me to believe you could also have completely dry lentils. I'll know they're two different types. I'll know not to eat the completely dry lentils because there's a chashash that they perhaps added wine vinegar. Ikadami, others say, when it comes to dry lentils that they added water to, everyone agrees it's usr because you might come to eat also dry lentils that they didn't add water, but they added wine vinegar. Kipligi, what is their machlokes b'chiti v'sar when it comes to wheat and barley? Mar savar gazrinan ha'atuha. One thinks they were gozer not to have dry wheat and barley because it might lead you to have dry lentils. Mar savar lo gazrinan. The other one felt that it wasn't a gozerah. They're two different meaning. People won't confuse the two. Gemara now says, Amar Rav, tre mine shisasa, the two types of shisasa of dried flour. Shadar Barzile Hagiladi LeDavid, the time when David was running away from Avshalom, so there was one thing that he sent of Shisisa, that Barzali Galadi sent to David, Giladi sent to David, one thing of wheat and barley, and he sent another Shisasa made of Pol Vadashim, of lentils and beans. It says in the Pasuk in Shmuel Bey, Mishkav V'sapos U'kleyotzar. So Mishkav is referring to, they said, bedding and stuff, and Sapos is referring to other kelim, and Kliyots is referring to earthenware and pottery, and Chitim Usorim V'kemach V'kali U'pol V'adashim V'kali. So he had the Chitim Usorim V'kemach V'kali, was dried, and he had Pol V'adashim V'kali, so the two types of dried grains that he sent over to him. The Hashta, who the Kamafki Tzani Tzani L'shuka D'Naharda. And now that the Goyim take out these baskets full of these food in the marketplaces, and the Jews buy and eat from them, it's clear now that practice is not to be choshesh, and you are allowed to, in fact, eat these baskets of food, of dried wheat and barley. Okay, this last piece, should we stop here?
Choshesh what?
No, we're choshesh of adding vinegar, wine vinegar. That's a chashash.
Is it long?
No, it's very short, the top line.
Yeah, all right.
Gemara now says, where are we? Kvashim shadarchan lases besochen yain. The Mishnah had said a type of pickling that there was normal to add wine, that would be aser as well. So Amar Chizkiah, Chizkiah says, lo shano, this is only true ella shadarchan, if it's normal to do so. Aval the yadua aser, afil b'hana, if you know for sure that they added wine vinegar, so then that's vade aser to get hana. It's only if there's a chashash, you don't know, so it depends, what's the normal way of making these items? Why is it different than that brine, that fish brine, the Sharu Rabbanan Bahana, that they said is permitted, even though most people add wine to it, they said it's permitted Bahana. But we said now, if it comes to the pickled, where we know they added wine, we said it's Asr Bahana. So Gemara says, Hasa, when it comes to the fish brine, La Bure Zuma, the reason they added wine is not to add flavor, it's really to remove the disgusting smell of the fish. So that's really, the wine is not meant to be used so much to be enjoyed. Aval hach, when it comes to here, the matuke taima, here it's to add flavor, to enhance it, so therefore it's even usser bana, if you know that there is wine in the pickling. Rav Yochanan argues and says, afilu yadua yainami mutter. Even if you know that they use wine for the pickling, he thinks you can, although you can't eat it, you can get hana. So maishna, what's the difference? Mimurais, the Rebbe Meir, de aser bana. Rabbi Meir argued in the Mishnah that says he thought fish brine mixed with wine is actually aser bana. So how come the fish brine is aser bana, but this case of the pickling, he would seemingly agree that it's mutter bana? And the Gemara says, Hasam over there, by the fish brine, yada mamasha. You could tell that there's wine in there. It's very, very clear. So therefore, they were more machbir. When it comes to pickling, lo yadia mamasha, you can't see the wine that's there. And therefore, they were more maker. Okay, big daf, a lot going on. But we'll...
Very
lach maisa. Yeah, very lach maisa.